Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one this evening. And we have certainly lots of prayer requests. Sister Carol had to go early to lift one of the boys. But the Lord bless those that's here this evening. And wee James is catching a healing. He's definitely a lot better. And I just want to thank everyone for the prayers. And you know, I said on Sunday that I'd like to do a service this Sunday for praying for the sick. And without fail, every time you say that, the enemy, he'll stick his head in. But I like that, because I'm going to put the boot in him. And that's a fact. And I've always found when he strikes you hard, hit him back harder. And there's only one way to do it. Seeking God. Preach the word of God. Keep on going the harder. When he hits you, hit him back with the word. Hit him back with prayer. Go the extra mile. That's the way to work with the enemy. Because the Bible says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So we're going to go ahead. Anyhow, praise God. And I want to pray for, there's a woman's contacted a man that's coming on Sunday. Brother George and the wife's back as well. Amen. Over here on Sunday. And there's a wee woman in Dromore. She has a wee lad. He's if he doesn't get a miracle, he's not going to be here much longer. But the Lord can touch him. We want to pray for him. They might come on Sunday. And we'll just see if they do come. But pray. Whoever the Lord wants to come will come. And maybe Brother Terry could bring his accordion Sunday because Brother Gary's away. And I think Brother Mark might not be here. One of Mark's girls has caught a virus. So we want to pray for one of Mark's girls as well. That the Lord will touch them. And but you're glad you're here tonight.
Alright.
You're still keeping on.
Amen.
Praise God. And we know we're living in evil times and all these things is happening in the world, but remember God is ultimately in control. Let's read Psalms 118 tonight, and I wanna speak a little about it again about the brazen altar of sacrifice. Psalms 118, verse 27. Maybe I'll read from verse 25 of Psalms 118. Praise God. Psalms 118, verse 25. Save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Amen. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. That's our text tonight from verse 27. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Amen. Heavenly Father, we bow before you tonight in the precious name of thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee this evening for this wonderful privilege that we have, that we can draw nigh unto thee by new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. We bless you this evening that we have open access into the very throne room of Almighty God. And Lord, your ear is open to their cry and your arms not shortened. You're able to save and heal and deliver. Lord, we say amen till all has been prayed tonight. And Father, we would ask you for this young man as well, James McDonald, over in Scotland, that you'll touch him and deliver him. Yes. And heal him in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for this young boy in Dromore, Lord, that we've heard about, with this terrible tumor upon him. Father, that we curse it. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ tonight. And we ask for his life, that he live and not die, in the name of the Lord. And we commit our lives afresh to you and our goings out and our comings in. And we acknowledge you in all ways, knowing that you will direct our paths. Lord, I take the Holy Ghost to help me right now. And I thank you that the Holy Spirit's real. Amen. And you promised the Holy Ghost to them that obey you. Pour your Spirit afresh upon your people tonight. Bless your Sister Carl, the whole family. And as it's already been prayed, touch Timothy, raise him up. Amen. To health and strength and normal functioning. In the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for Brother Mark and that the touch from heaven will be upon your people. For all those this evening that need comfort and strength, grant it, Lord. We pray for the Black family tonight that you'll bless them, strengthen them, and comfort them. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, bless us in with the time of yourself, with your word, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Just maybe seated. It. Praise God. I believe it. Stephen Black was buried today, and you know, I always liked Stephen Black myself. Me and Ian worked with him and Vincey Corbett. I helped Ian sometimes doing a bit of plaster, and I'm not really a plaster because I could throw a bit of stuff on the wall, but then I'd have to get rock to finish it. But Stephen was always great crack, you know, and he's gone on, and I just trust that. Bobby was telling me as a young man he trusted the Lord. You know, if a man really ever did trust Christ as a Savior, he's saved. You know, what where they come up and everything can be a different matter, but salvation's the most important thing, isn't it? Salvation's everything. Praise God, and that's the real thing about it. I want tonight just to look a little bit about this altar again, and here you see the picture up. And this picture portrays the psalmist here in 118, verse 27. God is the Lord which have showed light. Then it says, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. And here we see this brazen altar of sacrifice, and that's the grid you see in front of it that the sacrifice was placed in the midst of it. And this altar was 4 cubics square, and it stood solid, stable. At each corner was these horns, and the horn is a symbol of power. Now, we're working with someone when we're working with Jesus Christ. We're not working with just an ordinary man, which is no power, but only would have a human ability, and only could be one place at one time. That's a human. But when you're working with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're working with supreme deity and flesh. You're working with someone that's superior to man. You're working with one that he was all man, yet he was God in man. And he had power. Power to lay his life down. Power to take it up again. And he's in sovereign authority tonight. And no matter what you see going on in the world today, God is still in control. And if you look up the message of William Branham, and you'll see many quotes about Russia. And he says many times that Russia is a tool in the hand of God to bring about God's great plan. Now, I don't understand it all myself. I'm not claiming I do. I don't understand it. And I'm praying for the people, the missionaries over in Lithuania. But did you know there's Christians in Russia as well? Let's not forget that. Don't think because Russia's a man leading them that's a devil in flesh. And he is that. He is a devil in flesh. He's not much better than Hitler, the boy that's leading them. And that's what I think of him. But there is Christians also, real believers in Russia. And you know, it's wonderful what God actually did do in Russia. There was a revival in Russia, you know, some years back. God moved in Russia. And God really touched people. And I'm sure there's a lot of people wouldn't agree what's over there with what's going on. But I don't want to get waylaid tonight into that. I'm not talking about that. But we're looking at these horns of these altars and this sacrifice. These horns, they pointed in every direction. You can see that on this image tonight. And spoke of the power and sufficient. The blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ is powerful and sufficient to the whole world. That's why they point to 4 different directions. North, east, south, west. To the whole world. Jesus Christ's sacrifice is to the whole world. The Russian, the Lithuanian, us here in Northern Ireland, and America, Africa, everywhere, Jesus Christ's sacrifice was to the whole world. Amen. So it's wonderful. The sacrifice, we're bound to the horns of the altar, being slain. And it tells us that here in Psalms. What, you know, Christ was bound to the cross. Now you might think, and people might write, we know he was nailed, but it wasn't the nails that bound the Savior to the cross and his hands or his feet, but it was his love. It was love that bound him to the cross. He said it. He set his face as a flint to go up to Jerusalem. And the priest, you know, prophesied you. He was bound to the cross for me. Every wee boy and every wee girl this evening the Lord loves. And the Bible says every soul is precious in the eyes of the Lord. Now we should have a heart after God. We should look at people with a positivity and pray for them that God will change them and God will save them. And Brother Bobby was telling me of a wonderful testimony of a man the night who was a wicked man, but the Lord saved him. The Lord changed him. And God can change anybody. Never underestimate God. And if you don't believe that, all you have to do is look at Paul in the Bible. And Paul held the coat of those that stoned Stephen. And he persecuted the church, Paul did. But the Lord blessed Paul. And the light visited him on the road to Damascus, transformed him and changed him. Amen. By the power of Almighty God. It was the love of God, not the nails, that bound him to the cross, but the love of God. No man, he says in John 10:18, taketh my life, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. John 10:18, he says these wonderful words. As the horns of the altar looked every way, so the power of the cross of Christ looks. This whole world, sin belided, covered in sin, but yet he looks and he was smitten for our sin, for the sin of the whole world. Jesus Christ was smitten for the sin of the whole world. Not just for the sin of one or two, but for the sin of the whole world. He's the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. That's the Bible now. That's the Word of God. And that's God's Word's our foundation here. And that's the Word of God we're going on. And the horns of the altar looked every way, so this power of God went every road. Sin burned. The value of a sacrifice is sufficient to meet the dying need of every man. Every man is sufficient. Now I want you to see also this grate. And this is the grate here. It's on the front of it here. But also if you look in this brazen altar, there's a grate in the midst of it. And right in the middle of the altar is a grate in which the fuel of the offerings were laid. They laid it in this grate and they sacrificed it. And the ashes fell through the grate and under this grate. I haven't the photographs tonight, but there was pans. And the ashes fell onto the pans. Now I told you that I'm going to mention the ashes this evening, and I'm going to talk a little bit about the ashes this evening. And this blessed me. When you look at these things, and every single thing, nothing was wasted, and even the ashes speaks of Christ. Now I've never thought of that myself, but when you get to looking at the Word of God and reading it and comparing Scripture and Scripture, then the Bible, you know, shows you that everything's the Lord. Every single thing's the Lord. And I think that's wonderful. It is most significant to notice the grate, although it was halfway down. In the midst of this, it's halfway down. But because of the height of this brazen altar, it's higher than the rest of the implements. The grate, though halfway down, is still the same height as the mercy seat. So the sacrifice of Christ on the cross was equal to the mercy and the holiness of Almighty God. In other words, it met God's requirement.
Amen.
Not for man's requirement, but it met God's requirement. God had a requirement of holiness that had to be met, and no man could meet it. Not a man. That's why no earthly priest can ever forgive you or save you. There had to come one superior and supreme who was sinless and blameless. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And his sacrifice, the midst of this speaks of the height, that it's the same height as the mercy seat, which was shown to God, that he met every requirement God required, so that we, me and you as sinners, could approach on the holy God. Aren't you glad for that?
Amen.
And even when you're saved, you know, you can still make mistakes, but the blood lays there for you. The blood lays there for you. And he's faithful and give us, faithful and just to forgive us all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But he requires us to walk in the light as he is in the light. Amen. So you see, this altar was still as high as a mercy seat, 1.5 cubits high to the midst of this. Who would have thought of this? Yet how could we think of the atoning sacrifice below the laver of the mercy of the Holy God? It was not below it. It was equal to it, the midst of this. The mercy seat was the throne of God. The sacrifice must be equal to the throne of God. And it was. What Christ done reached God.
Amen.
Now show me another man that could do that. Because nobody else could do it. Like our brother said, that's the truth. Nobody else could do it. None of us could do it. We couldn't please God. If you, we were to do something for a week that we could attain to reach us to heaven, we'd never do it. We don't have to do it.
Amen.
We're under the, Romans 4, the imputation
Amen.
Of the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
He freely gives us His righteousness.
Amen.
Why? Because of what this talks about. This talks about a man called Jesus
Amen.
That was bound to the cross because He loved us.
Lord.
And He gave us His righteousness freely. Glorious truth, marvelous grace. The cross of the crucified Son of God is on a level with the righteous throne of God. Now, I want to emphasize this. It's the only thing on that level. There's nothing else can bring you onto that level. Only the righteousness of Christ. And any man that's working in a church system, or a movement, or a program, or a name of a system, or an organization, it'll fail. But it's only the righteousness of Christ that lifts us onto that level where He says, I don't impute to you your sin, but I impute to you my righteousness. And He goes further. He says, sin will have no more dominion over you. And He goes further. And He says, death will have no more dominion over you, for He's conquered it. He's conquered both death, hell, and the grave. And He is a living sacrifice this evening. All this in our behalf. Sinners. He done it for us. The self-righteous won't be accepted before God. It won't work. The offender comes short in one point. The Bible says you're guilty of all. No man can keep the law, but Christ fulfilled it.
Amen.
Christ done it. He fulfilled it to a T. Put the dot at the end. That's what that means. He was able to do it. He was able to do it all and more. And a more superior offering was Christ. And all that went before, but it spoke of Him. Praise God. Now I want to look for a moment at these ashes. And you say, what about them? Cast them outside. The ashes was captured in the pans underneath this, the midst of this, in this grid. And the wind could have blew them, and yes, the human wisdom would say, well, the wind would blow them away, and what you saw them. But everything here is sacred, and we must look at it in the light of Scripture. And have a real look at the type of it, what it speaks to us about. And the ashes are precious morsels in the priest's eyes. And the priest valued them, and he attached value to them, and Jehovah attached value to them. And the ashes speak to us that a sacrifice was made, and they speak to us that not only a sacrifice was made, but someone died. Someone died and was burned. And it's actually dead. And the Bible says Christ died for the sins of the world. He actually died. He didn't just fall asleep for a few hours, as some people say. Jesus Christ actually died. He died on the cross. He laid His life down. And these ashes speak of a death. That's what they speak of. And also, not only do they speak of a death, more especially of the sacrifice also is accepted by God. The ashes speak of a sacrifice made, and they also speak of a sacrifice accepted by God. God, through consuming fire, He burnt these, this sacrifice through consuming fire. And God is a consuming fire.
Amen.
God Himself is a consuming fire. The ashes were the evidence that it was finished. And Jesus said on the cross, it's finished. John 19:30. It's finished. That's what He said on the cross. The offering was accepted in the sinner's stead and in the sinner's place. It was the last thing they saw of the sacrifice was the ashes. That's the last thing they saw was these ashes. The last words of Christ, John 19:30, was it's finished. The work of the suffering death was done. Atonement was accomplished. The dead body of the Son of God, the ashes and a type, declared that all was done that could be done. Everything was done that could be done.
Amen.
Now there's someone more in these ashes, but what was done with the ashes? They were to be carried out and laid outside in a clean place. The carrying forth of the ashes was in the sight of Israel a solemn funeral. It was a solemn funeral. That's what it meant. They were precious because they were to be used for the sprinkling of the unclean. And the ashes was used to sprinkle on the unclean, the lepers, his wounds, his stripes were healed. That's just what it speaks of us this evening. And the leper in the Bible speaks of the sinner unclean. And only Christ can cleanse him. How suggestive this is, the body of Jesus carried forth. Luke 23:53, and laid in a tomb for never man laid. And you know who owned the tomb? Joseph Arimathea. I remember a young man going to America and preaching in Reno, Nevada. They called them revival meetings. And I preached a sermon called Craving the Body of Jesus. And I stole it from a statement A.L. made years ago. And you know where A.L. got the statement from? Craving A. And Craving A was a box of cigarettes. I had the photo of them. Once I found them in America somewhere and I got a photograph of them, and they were called Craving A. That was the name of the cigarettes, Craving A. And I preached a sermon in America at they called the Revivals Youth Meeting, and a lot of young people could see him. And I preached on craving the body of Jesus. And I'm telling you, it was a powerful service. And there was an old Pentecostal man, near 100 years of age, was there in them meetings. And the Lord really helped us in them meetings. And they come up from Grass Valley and different parts of America to attend them meetings. And we run them every night for about a week or so. That was back in 1991 in Reno, Nevada, right out in the desert. There it was really hot and warm and craving A. And you know, there's a good thing in that tonight. What are we craving? What is our desire, a craving? Has to be Jesus. And Joseph Arimathea went in and he craved the body of Jesus. That's where I got my text from. And also, I'd heard A.L. mention it about them cigarettes. But it come from that scripture. Where Joseph craved the body of Jesus. So these ashes was for the unclean, the miracle of his death, resurrection, sprinkling of the unclean, the cleansing away of sin, the sprinkling process is a very personal one. The value of the ashes does not lie in what we think of them. Now you'd think there's not much to them. They're just ashes. But in the high estimate set upon by God himself, let us ponder this and praise him, for there's a value in them. There's a cleansing in them. But what about this blood as well? The blood was sacrificed in the midst of this altar. You know, somebody sent me a thing the other week. It was about you shouldn't kill animals, and there was a priest on it. And he gave this speech, and he took us back to Genesis. It all looked very beautiful and wonderful, and there was fruit in the originally, and everything. And so you have to, that's what you live on now. What do you call them people that don't eat meat and stuff? Vegetarians. And this priest gave this whole wonderful spiel out. But you know, the first thing, it just comes to me straight away, the scripture was God sacrificed.
That's right.
God himself.
That's right.
God started it. Not me or you, God started it. God killed an animal and he clothed Adam and Eve and covered the nakedness. When Noah came off the ark, what's the first thing Noah did? Set an altar up and sacrifice. Moses, set an altar up and sacrifice. Abraham, set an altar up, Isaac. But then God provided the lamb. Everywhere you read, it's God's way. Now how could we take God's way and throw it away? What does God multiply? The loaves and the fish.
That's right.
Multiplied the fish.
Amen.
So they could have it. Praise
right.
God. So you see, all that stuff doesn't work. You can't. You see, you can make the Bible say something, but it has to run dovetailed.
Amen.
Think of this this evening. You can't just pull something out. You must dovetail it through all scripture. It must dovetail. It must tie right through, and the bloodline runs from Genesis the whole way to Revelation.
Amen.
We can tie it right through. Amen. And I thank God for meat tonight. I'm going to tell you another thing. I've done an experiment recently with meat. Myself. I'm not joking. I eat meat every night for so many nights to see how I would feel differently. No carbs, just meat. And my strength went up. Just eating meat. Eggs and meat. No bread, no potatoes, nothing. Just eggs and meat. And I'll tell you one thing. It didn't fizz me one, but it done me the power of good. So I don't go all this stuff, you know, lentils and carrots and all. That's all good for a wee bit in the side, but there's never been prices for the Lord. Look, the blood of the offering was poured out at the bottom of the altar. At the bottom of this altar, the blood was poured out. Leviticus 7:11, the life of the flesh is in the blood.
Amen.
And I have given it to you upon the altar. woman was symbolically poured out before God. All that a man hath will he give for his life. Job 2:4 tells us that. Praise God. Now I have to look at this. I've no watch on me this evening, but I have a timer on this. I'm going to have to soon close. But when a man gives his life, he gives all he hath. Our blessed Lord gave his life. He gave all. He didn't hold back. He gave everything he had.
Amen.
So that we could be saved. Poured out before God. He says, a power to lay my life down, a power to take it up again. And isn't that wonderful this evening? How much was that? Though he was rich, yet for our sakes became he poor. That's what the Lord done. That ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians 8:9. For ye know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Amen. That ye through his poverty might be rich.
Amen.
Praise God. How poor he become. He gave up all. He gave up all. That we could have life. So that we could be rich. Now riches tonight is not how big your house is or your car. Riches tonight, salvation. Real riches is to know God, to be born again, to be ready for heaven. You might be living in a straw bale house. But I wouldn't mind living in one, you know, but it's just saying that. Warm, wouldn't it? Praise God. Some things that people look at, but there's something in it all, really, when you study it. But I'm just saying, the Lord, are you rich tonight? Rich because you're saved. Praise God. The death of Christ had a double aspect. It had to make atonement before a holy God and cleanse a guilty man. The Hebrew words for atonement is used in three different aspects. In Leviticus 16, it's used to cleanse. In Genesis 6:14, it's used to cover. In Genesis 32:20, it's used to appease. So it covers, it cleanses, and it appeases God. That's what it does. The Lord does all them things for you and me. It has an appeasing power towards the righteous Jehovah. Without it, we couldn't appease God. We couldn't do it. We couldn't approach God without Christ. That's why the earthly priest's no good. This is my beloved Son, Matthew 3:17, in whom I am well pleased. We need him. We're going to approach God, we need him. As a holy and just God, no man can come before him empty-handed. As a sinner, we must have our hands filled with his offering and our hearts cleansed with his blood. That's the only way we can come. Our hands laid on the altar of Christ and our hearts cleansed with his blood.
Amen.
Now I'm going to come, I can talk about the fire as well, but I'm going to close. I want to give time for prayer this evening. This is Matthew's Uncle James. I did pray for him to start, but I just want to read you it. And gangrene is eating through his body. They're not sure of how long he's left. He's already lost a leg. And they think he might lose another leg with gangrene. You'd never have thought of that in this day and age, sure you would, but it still happens. And just pray for him tonight if you think of it. And pray for those that need God's touch this evening, that the Lord will move, and pray for the services that lay ahead, that the Lord will grant wisdom. And that somebody will come and get a touch from the Lord. And somebody will get saved. Let's come and bow our heads this evening, and I want to give time that we can pray this evening. Heavenly Father, we just thank you.
Thank you.
Praise you this evening. Lord, for your precious word of truth. That every single part of your scripture, your Bible, speaks of you. Lord, we want to raise you up. For you said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And Lord, you were lifted up on the cross, there to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for you shall you appear the second time, without sin unto salvation. Father, I pray you bless every man and every woman in this room tonight. And all that's on hearts this evening, a son or a daughter, a brother or a sister, a boy or a girl. Lord, will you save them? Will you touch them? Will you minister unto each and every one of them and give them strength and grace? Will you save the unsaved in their homes and in their families? Lord, will you begin to move upon them by the power of the Holy Spirit? Convict them of sin and unrighteousness and draw them unto thyself. Father, we pray again for all the missionaries and those in Ukraine. Perhaps even some in Russia that's never been mentioned. Lord, we lift them all before you tonight. We pray for your mercy and grace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and your protection. We thank you for every good and perfect gift that cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shattering nor turning. Lord, bless Mark and his family. Bless Timothy. For this man, James, touch him and heal him.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ, for others, Lord, bereaved, and for others heartbroken, touch them and heal them. Think of Davy Jones again tonight. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ for full recovery, full deliverance, full restoration in his body. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray, God, that you'll move. We pray for Sister Candace and Brother Keith. We ask your power to come on them, your blessing to be upon them. Oh God, dear Sister Good, we pray. When the enemy says die, let her live. Let her live and not die, Lord. Come upon her by the Holy Ghost. Come upon her with the resurrection power of Christ. Just like these ashes could cleanse the leper. May that type be in you. We know it is, that with your wounds, your stripes were healed. May you heal her this evening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I pray. Father, touch them and do them good and strengthen them. Encourage them at this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray, Lord, for all that's near and dear tonight, that you bless and touch. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us just continue to seek the Lord this evening.